Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And we are live tonight, although you never really know it.
Well, they know because it's May 7th.
I was going to say May 6th. You've lost today.
I have. I've been messed up all week.
Okay, it is May the 6th, so it is live tonight. We have stopped traveling for a little while, so we're home and we are doing the live shows. But I do want to tell the listeners that the radio station is experiencing major problems, and we don't really know what's going to happen in the show tonight. We won't know here, but I guess the listeners are the only ones that are going to know if it's not going well.
Right. They said it might be choppy. You might lose the streaming, but then... And it'll be off and on, but the recording will be good, so if you want to get to the archives, it'll be a good show there. You'll be able to get to it. So.
But, you know, every once in a while, our little gremlins love to get into the lines, and they do all kinds of weird things. We can't blame it on the rainstorms. We've stopped right
they're
now.
They're done now.
We hope they're
well,
done.
Well, it's not our phone lines. It's in California. So.
Yeah, the California phone lines. But he said it's something to do with installing new lines or something, and it's really got them messed up. Well, I have a great honor that I have a really important guest tonight. And she is out in Hollywood, and we're going to interview her. And I'm going to give out the free number if anyone wants to call in and talk to her. Okay, the toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756 1-888-815-9756 And we've got Dee Wallace on the line. You there, Dee?
Oh, I sure am, baby. How are you?
Well, we're just hoping we're okay here. We just don't know what the gremlins are going to do with the airwaves. That's
sure. Blame it on California gremlins.
That's right. You guys are in cahoots, aren't you?
Hey, it's just because all three of us are together and the energy's just too much, Dolores.
That's right.
And, you know, we have had that happen before in my classes and everything. Where in the lectures where the energy has done really weird things. So it's probably what it is. It's all three of us together.
Have you noticed, Dee, that right now, have you noticed some major energy things happening in the last, like this week?
Okay, do you think?
Uh-huh.
Do you think?
Yeah, I have a feeling that's what it is.
Seriously trying to keep up.
The
information that's coming in, the hits that are coming in, the speed that everything's coming in, the speed of my life that's going out.
Yeah, it's like something major is happening this week.
Yeah, and from all of our information, it's just a big, big influx of light.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that helps explain a lot of things.
Because, you know, its energy is increasing anyway, but every once in a while it takes a big burst.
Then this week is one of those. It's a huge burst.
Well, we had, you know, any way you look at it, we had a darkness that was in the way of the light removed for a lot of people.
Oh, that's true.
This week.
That's true.
And
So
the light is feeling a lot freer within a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And when it feels freer in us and safer in us, to be able to shine, then, of course, that goes back out into the collective, and it has to affect, you know, the light coming in also.
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at it.
Well, thanks.
I think I said the last time I was on, we just got back from Russia, and we noticed a big change over there, but it was by accident when I was doing my class.
There are no accidents, remember?
I bet you guys spend most of your time catching each other, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have lots of fun doing that.
Yeah. But I don't know if I said anything about that, but maybe I should. We were in Russia, and over there, my three-day class turns into 5 days because of the translation back and forth. It's very tedious. So on the last day of the class, and you know, I'm getting tired by that time. I want the class to be over. So we can go home. And right at the end, They began asking about 2012. And I told them through the translator, I told them, there's not enough time to go into that. It's such a long, drawn-out subject. It's going to, you know, I'd rather not talk about it. And then they were saying, please tell us something. They said all they're hearing is the negative, the bad, the end of the world.
Yeah, the end of the world, that's all they.
And they said, can't you at least tell us something? And so I said, okay. So I began telling them what I knew, you know, that it's not the end of the world and that this is a whole new world we're going into. And I was telling them all the beautiful things that are going to happen. And me and Julie both noticed the room changed. You could see their faces begin to light up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You removed the darkness for them, Dolores.
Absolutely. Like she was. There was one woman that hadn't smiled the entire class, and all of a sudden she smiled. And what I got was, okay, we raised the energy of the vibrations of that room, which raised the energy of Moscow, which raised the energy of Russia, which raised the energy of the world. I mean, it was just showing me, look at this ripple effect that just happened here, and it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Because you could feel the energy. The room was glowing, and I just... Mm-hmm. Talk to me a half hour just to try to give them the basics. But I guess it changed a little bit of what they had to show there is a positive thing out there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, you know, bottom line, what's the point of working on anything, of working on your joy, opening up your heart, moving into your ascension, if it's all going to be over anyway?
So, really?
Yeah. You know, it probably lifted a lot of that off of them.
Oh, you could see it. It was a change. Mm-hmm. The whole room changed.
You know, and I think that's, I wrote a whole blog about the enigma of Osama bin Laden and us. And after I wrote it, someone sent me a quote by Martin Luther King, which I was unaware of at the time that I wrote my blog, that pretty much said the same thing, that even though we celebrate the removal of a darkness from the light, we don't ever celebrate the murder of anyone because that lessens our own.
Yes.
You know?
That's what we kept saying. I said, you never want to celebrate somebody being killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I've been having a problem with this. It's like, yeah, I just had a problem with this. That's all I'll say. that's enough. So.
That's a whole other show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just returned last weekend. We were at a conference in Albuquerque, and it was supposed to be about the awakening. Mm-hmm. But most of the speakers there were talking negative again.
Well, it was some of that. Be prepared. It's all, you know. Well,
controversy.
You're kidding.
No.
Controversy, conspiracy. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, people said they really liked my talk because they said, you give us hope that there is something good out there.
Why are healers and light workers out talking about the garbage? I don't get it.
I don't know.
Maybe because, you know, maybe so that people can literally have the visceral experience that feeling bad and being in fear doesn't feel nearly as creative and good as being in hope and being in higher vibration.
Yeah, maybe.
So I think we've got to get that. It's like, get off our stories, get off the drama, get out of the struggle. It's done. It's over.
Exactly.
It's old energy, guys.
Yes.
You know? Move on. Lighten up.
Oh, I love it, Dee. Love it.
That's the way I've been feeling for the last week. It's like a load has been lifted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I know something is happening. Yeah. I don't know how they can not feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, everything.
Well, you know, Dolores, for me, this is the rule that supersedes them all. As you believe, it will be delivered unto you.
Absolutely.
Whether it's physically delivered unto you or you live in the vibration of the fear as a constant in your life, you will create it from the perception that you hold.
Yes, because you do create your reality. And everything, if that's what you want to live, that's what you will draw to you.
Well,
I tell people what they fear most is what they're going to attract.
Yeah.
Before we go any further, let me tell the listeners who you are.
Yeah, we just jumped right in. It's like, you know, prep you here. I'll do a little bit.
Yeah, usually I start off, you know, by having the guests tell who they are and everything, but we did just kind of jump right in. All right, guys out there, listeners, it's a very important person. I think she is. She's a very wonderful person. But Dee Wallace is an actress who has appeared in many, many major motion pictures and TV shows. And Dee, I saw you the other night on the show. I was surprised. There you were on with an old one, but it was Murder, She Wrote.
OMG, you saw Murder, She Wrote? Oh, my goodness.
Keep popping up all over the place.
Well, you know, I'm happy because I'll get 2 cents from that residual.
There you go.
But for the listeners, Dee was the mother in E.T. And that's, I think, the one you said you're most remembered for. But you've also done a lot of modern TV shows, too, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, tons. I've been on Criminal Minds and CSI and Law and Order and all of them this year. So I do a lot of guest star roles. I've done over 130 films, four television series. I'm a prolific actress. I'm just on my way, actually, to do a beautiful little comedy with Doris Roberts.
Oh. Okay.
When is that going to be? You going to go this week or what?
I'm leaving Sunday to do that, and in between all of these travels, of course, you know, my book Bright Light just came out, so I'm doing a lot of book signings for that, and I'm doing science fiction conventions, and it's going to be a very busy May
for
me.
You're a well-rounded person, Dee.
Yeah. I'm tap dancing as fast as I can.
There you go.
Well, they are still connecting you with E.T. all these years later. That's why the science fiction ones.
Oh, yeah.
And also the horror movies, too. Mm-hmm. That draws a lot from way, way back, isn't it?
Exactly. I have a huge amount of fans from Cujo and The Howling and The Frighteners and most recently Rob Zombie's Halloween. So, you know, it's funny, Dolores. People say to me, how can you justify being a healer and doing horror films? And I said, well, honey, I've been studying fear for 30 years.
you know? That is interesting. Our graphic artist was just saying that very same thing today. He said, it's interesting how she's done all these horror films and she's done all these things. And he said, it's like it was a way to make us face our fears. It was putting the fears right in front of us so we would start dealing with them.
Well, and aren't we all running away from some monster, and mostly it's us?
Absolutely.
You know, the monster within us, the fear within us, the the doubt within us, the wonder within us, the false beliefs within us. We're all running away from stuff. So I think it's a perfect metaphor.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. We all have, people have these little monsters that hides inside of them.
And that's how they see it, too.
and it really messes up their life. But, you know, when you were doing those films, you weren't into the healing at that time, though, were you?
You know, I was and I didn't know it. That's my best answer.
Yeah.
I've always been called to the spiritual. I've always been called to finding out the truth, and I definitely, Dolores, have always been called to love and to teach. And so I was, my beloved husband of 18 years, Christopher, who passed away, who's the father of my daughter, he got me involved in my very first philosophy called conceptology. Have you ever heard of it?
Conceptology?
Yeah, it really, it was developed in the 20s or 30s, and it really was one of the precursors of all of this. And we would drive down and take a class in that once a week down to Anaheim. And so, yes, I was studying it, and I was learning about it, and then through 6 years of trying to conceive with my daughter, I studied all kinds of energy and learned how to run energy through my hands and work with acupuncture. And I found an acting class, which I talk a lot about in Bright Light. It was really, this acting class and my mentor, Charles Conrad, always started the classes about energy and how energy worked. And unbeknownst to him, even, you know, he would read us a lot of the classics and them talking about energy and the creation of life and everything, to tie it in with my acting technique. And so when I look back at my life, there were so many pockets where the universe took me to learn about energy and how to use energy and how to direct energy and what worked and what didn't work. It's just that I wasn't conscious of it, you know, until I fell to my knees that night and said, you know, I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be a victim anymore. I want my light back. I want a way we can heal ourselves. And that was the beginning of the conscious direction and information and forming of all of this. That was the night that consciously, because I asked, I can remember it all starting. But really, I was, you know, I was in the universal school for a long time without even knowing it.
Yeah. But, you know, I think when we look back at our lives, we could see we're being prepared, but when you're in the middle of it, you don't have any idea what it is until you look back and say, these things were happening and we're not even aware of them at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ergo, the word trust.
Yes.
That's what they mean, where you got to, you know, at some point trust that you're in the right place. Right?
Yes.
Well, we've all been there, done that. We've all had things, I call it the testing times. We all go through those when we don't know which way to go and we're having all these things be thrown at us that are really testing us.
Yep.
And some people go the wrong direction. But then they can always bounce back. You know, but we all have testing times that are going.
Exactly. And, you know, I really don't believe you can get it wrong. You just realize you walked into the wrong class.
Yeah.
You know, you made something out of your Play-Doh that you don't like. So scrunch it up and make something else.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I tell everybody.
Learn from it.
I said, there is no bad, there is no good. It's just lessons and experiences.
Yep.
And what did you learn from that experience?
I'm with you.
And a lot of people don't want to look at it like that. Even
well, no, because they'd have to take responsibility then.
Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah.
This conference last weekend, this one woman kept talking to us for the longest time. She was being a victim, and that's all she was going on about, all the horrible things that happened to her.
You got to hear her whole story, huh?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, over and over again, that she's crying and crying. And I finally said, when are you going to get tired of being the victim?
And she said?
Well, she couldn't acknowledge she was. And
yeah.
Said, well, you don't know all these, how bad my life has been and all of that.
You stop being a victim the moment you decide to stop being a victim.
And
you bet. It's all about choice.
If you don't like your life, change it.
Yeah.
You can change it.
But, you know, you do have to make that choice. I had a woman at a seminar that I taught, and she came up and said, I'll do anything to heal myself of this disease. And pretty much within 5 minutes, we got to the two people that she needed to forgive.
Uh-huh.
And she looked at me truly with venom in her eyes and said, I'll never flippin' forgive them.
Yeah.
And I said, now look, you just said you would do anything to be free of this disease. Well, I'll never forgive them, she said. And I turned to the audience and I said, you see, that's the moment that we make our choice right there.
Yeah. Because that's what I'm finding in my work. I see people all the time, and it's the anger. I call it the garbage and the baggage they carry around with them. And they can't get healed unless they let that go. You have to forgive.
Yes.
And
you have to forgive yourself, too.
Absolutely.
That's what I tell them. That's very important. And none of this is easy. But you have to do it if you're going to make a change. Otherwise, like you said, she's not going to be free of it until she does forgive them.
Well, I just tell people, you know, love yourself and love yourself and love yourself more, and then love yourself even more than that. Because if we don't love ourselves, we're not going to want to heal. We're not going to want to give ourselves the joy that we're asking for. We're not going to be able to feel how magnificent we are. And I think that's the cornerstone of everything, Dolores, is to love yourself.
I think you're exactly right. I mean, because you don't feel worthy of all those things if you don't love yourself.
Well, right. And, you know, who do we want to give everything to? The people we love. And we're usually at the end of that line.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's part of the testing, though, is also to have these people come into our lives, and then you have to recognize that. And once you do, it becomes so simple. Because, you know, one of the things that I give in my example, I give in my classes and everything, is in my lectures, too, is how this is just a play. That's all we are. We're involved in a play. And you can resonate with that. We're actors on a stage playing our part. And we're the producer, director, writer of the script, and actor in it. And we can change the script anytime we want.
And I usually say, and hopefully you're the starring role. You know, you're the lead actor of your script and your play.
Yeah, and you know, there's 1,000 different ways to play the same part.
That's
too.
And I tell them, too, when on the other side, you know, when you're making your plans to come back and you make contracts with all the other people, you know, you have karma with, and you say, well, let's go back and do it again. This time you be the husband, I'll be the wife. You can switch roles around any way you want. But the one who is giving you the worst time that you consider your greatest enemy was probably your best friend over there that said, okay, I'll play the villain this time.
Yeah.
And Julie said they play their...
Yeah, some of them really play their roles very well.
Yeah, I've had a few of them that I thought crossed over the line from acting. Okay.
You giving them Oscars for their roles?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, very challenging.
But if they can just step back and look at it in that way, it'll make a big difference.
It gives you perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
and it allows you to discharge that emotional charge. And I think that's something so important for people to understand, that literally, viscerally, we have within our bodies, our systems, our energy systems, electrical charges around things that, you know, you can call it your button or what plugs you in or a myriad of terms. But it's an electrical charge that really gives you a high almost, but it's a negative. And it keeps you on that pattern of, you know, they've actually know that the pheromones that we get flooded with when we feel awesome, the highest point of those pheromones is right before you achieve something, not when you achieve it. But right before. So really the payoff, okay, as far as feeling excited and great, is not getting there. Isn't that interesting?
It is. It's the almost getting there.
Yeah.
Huh.
Which keeps creating the struggle, which keeps creating a lot of the patterns that we hold on to.
Yes.
I never thought about that. You mean then when you attain it, you don't feel as good as you do when you're working for it?
Yeah. When you get almost close, that's when your body releases the most pheromones. Interesting,
like,
huh?
Like she was just saying, so that's why a lot of people will then keep themselves in that state rather than actually accomplishing, because...
It's a high.
Yeah.
Then they're afraid once they do achieve, then but they won't have anything else left, or what?
Well, they just don't get the chemical release in their body that makes them excited. So the payoff isn't as big.
Yeah. So they have to get to a place where that's not what they're after.
Well, I think the highest thing for us to know is that you don't really ever get there. There's just expansion. So once you get someplace, then you just create another place, and then you create another place. So you can continually be, you know, in a place of bliss, if you choose, by knowing that you will continually just keep expanding. And whatever that next marker is, once you attain that, you automatically go on to the next marker. So if we can look at life as just a blissful, peaceful, constant flow of giving and receiving, of expanding out, then the excitement can come from that, and we can create new charges around that, as opposed to, I've got to struggle, and I've got to try to get there, and I've got to try to control it, and I've got to manipulate it. And that's where so many people are locked into for the excitement and the high in their life.
Right, the roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
So you think then, I guess if we have continually new goals on the horizon, then we don't just stop. We keep moving towards something else.
Yes, which keeps you in creation. And when most of us are creative and involved in creating, we're happy because we're creative beings. We want to create.
Yes, we are master manifestors. That's what we are.
So
she says at the talk, she'll say, "You are great and powerful beings. You are master manifestors."
I love it.
Realize it.
Right, and we come here because this is more of a challenge to do it. That's why we came here. And so, but it's remembering and rediscovering who we really are. We are these creative beings. You know, that's our lifeblood, as we manifest, we create. So.
Yeah, and I think the human body allows us an even greater expansion. Mm-hmm. You know, because we get to learn that the body doesn't limit us.
Right.
But you can't learn that till you have it.
That's right. Yeah. The body will do whatever you want it to do.
And that means if you want it to be sick or if you want it to be healthy, that's your reality. You can create it. And they all think of themselves as the victims going along with it without realizing the really amazing control they do have.
Yes.
But
you have to claim it, though, you know. You have to claim that you've, and believe that you have the power.
Yes,
that's right.
When you were talking there about the joy in creating it, and then when you get it, well, you know, I just finished my last book. It's going to the printers now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And how many does that make, Dolores? Let's just talk about the little Energizer channeler here. How many does that make?
This is 16, and I thought it was going to be a little book, and it just kept growing and growing, and it's another big one. But you know,
unbelievable.
Julie, I realize now when I'm going through the writing of a book, and when you're finished, it's like having a baby.
Yeah.
And that's my child. And then when it's born, like now, it's been birthed. It's going to go to the printer.
She handed it over to me, and I take it from here.
Yeah, she puts it into the format, and it goes to the printers. And now it's being born. And I've noticed after that, I go into same thing as postpartum depression.
Really?
And I don't know if, you know, because it's just like when you have a baby and you're all excited about it, and then when it's born.
Ah, the pheromone thing we were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was associating it with. That goes along with what you said.
I get a big yes on that. So let's just take a moment to balance all the hormones and the pheromones around creation. That's what I'm hearing. So I use statements. I'm just going to claim the statements and hold the intention that all of that is balanced around creation and that once our creation is complete, that we're excited and high and joyous and, whoa, what's the word they're trying to give me? Filled up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we rest and go on to our next creation. You don't think for 1 minute you're going to stop creating, do you, woman?
Oh, no. I've got two more books in the works.
I want to be you when I grow up.
Well, there was too much information for one, so I had to try to divide it down. I thought it was going to be small, but I don't know. It's going to be two more, but I told Julie I'm going to give myself a little rest right now.
Yes.
So that I can focus on a few other things before I start tackling the next one.
Well, and sometimes just rest is okay too, Dolores.
I don't know what that is.
I do know what you're talking about, though, because,
Julia, you're the same way. You don't know what it's like to rest either, do you?
Well, I do, but I always think I'm going to want to rest longer than I do.
Right. Yes. Okay, that's done. Okay.
I get into about 2 days of rest, unless it's Hawaii.
Yeah.
I really can go to Hawaii and just rest and play for 10 days. I can.
Well,
and I need
there,
to. I need to do that again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that energy is what it's conducive for. It's that place is created for that.
Yeah.
Well, but we found, though, you can only after a few days, then I start getting bored and I've got to get back to work again.
Although most of the time I've been in Hawaii, I've been with my family and my daughter, and you can't ever get bored with my daughter because it's, Mommy, let's go jet skiing, let's go, diving, let's go waterboard, whatever. We're just going all the time. So but it's a different thing than when I'm in the channel 24/7, which I pretty much am all the time anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, between two radio shows and my books and teaching acting and acting and it's all channeling.
Right.
Excuse me.
But Gina, you're talking about resting. We don't have time to rest now because we're getting ready for our conference.
I know. How exciting is that going to be?
So that's why this month I don't have to go anywhere, but we're focused on that, and that's going to take a lot of energy to get all the pieces of that together. Let's tell everybody about the conference, what it is.
Okay, it's coming up. It's June 10th to the 12th, and Dee is one of our keynote speakers. She's on Friday night.
Yeah.
Yay! So exciting.
I'm just going to try and keep up with you guys.
Come on, girl. it's in Rogers, Arkansas, and on our website, we have all the information about it. So,
and the website is?
The website is ozarkmt.com. You can also get to it through DoloresCannon.com. So,
it's all about it. And this takes a lot of preparation, but each year it's growing and growing and getting bigger, and it's reaching a lot of people.
Right.
And that's why from now, I think it started a week ago, until the conference, we're interviewing our speakers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Dee, the last show I did, I don't know if you heard about this movie that just came out. It's called Three Magic Words.
I have heard about Three Magic Words, yeah. I thought you were going to say I Am. Have you seen I Am?
I Am? No.
No.
Oh, Tom, what's his name? Shadlock. Who did Pet Ventura and all that. Oh, my gosh, you guys have to see I Am. It's an amazing film. But tell us about Three Magic Words.
Well, I've already talked about it because I was out there for the premiere because I'm in that movie.
I know. Another movie star in our midst.
Well, Michael Perlin is the producer, and he's going to be there at the conference. And he's going to show the movie at the conference, and he's excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like the way you looked, Dolores?
Do you like
it? Do what?
Wait, say that again, Dee.
Did you like the way you looked?
Not really.
I know. We never do we?
But I was surprised that he had me, the interview, I was doing the whole voiceover throughout the film.
And oh, my goodness, really?
And he didn't tell me about it until we went to the premiere, and then I said, oh, my gosh, that sounds like me. You know who I was there with? Belinda Velasquez.
Yeah, I know.
And she said, "That's you, that's you." And it was the whole, it wasn't so much what I looked like. I didn't look that good, but my voice was throughout.
Well, woman, you got to read your contract next time. Seriously.
But it's a wonderful metaphysical movie. And, you know, when I was out there in Hollywood, I've told the listeners before that everybody kept saying, oh, nobody cares about metaphysical films. All they want is the car chases and the
sex. That's not true.
And, you know, all the crime movies. And I said, I don't believe that. And they said, oh, that's all the powers that be want. But that night we had the premiere. That theater held over 400 people. It was packed.
Yeah, that's just not true. I get that from my publicist all the time when we're out doing Bright Light. And I'm going, you know, guys, that's a belief you're holding. So if you're going to keep working for me, you got to let go of that belief.
Uh-huh.
And you have to attract the people who are ready, who, you know, I think the way that I say it and what I stand for, people want to know that
yeah.
you can be spiritual, you can be powerful, you can create your own life, and you can still have a drink and say hell every once in a while, you
that's
know?
Right.
You can be a real person, OMG,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
So I can get why the morning shows don't want to have somebody on that sits and you know, chants and or for 5 hours or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they have to talk like this in order to get their message. I get why the morning shows wouldn't want that. I get it. But that's not what we're doing.
No.
We're saying go out, have energy, have joy, be powerful.
That's
everybody
right.
wants to be powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of people, you know, say, well, powerful, that's a negative word. I said, okay, use the grace of power then. Because the grace of power was Mother Teresa and Gandhi and Dolores. You know, we're the grace of power. And our power comes from the truth and knowing divine love. And I don't think there's a person out there that doesn't want that.
Right.
Well, I believe it.
So well put.
And, you know, Dee, one of my authors is the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi.
Yes, I did know that.
Now, he was supposed to come this conference, but he couldn't make it. They wanted him in Africa at a meeting.
Yeah, he was
what did they say? It's not the keynote, it's the...
I can't think of the words. Honor. It's an
a guest of honor.
Yes, uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
it's for the young people. And he said, I've got to go there because it's reaching the leaders of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, he would have been here. And he's a very wonderful man. He's the only one in the family that carried on his father's heritage.
Wow. Really?
But anyway, everywhere we go now, we're having real big crowds, and they are metaphysical. They're into this. And they're loving it. They said it's like food. They want more.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, even my acting students, you know, I'll have people come in and audit, and because I do a lot of my healing work within the acting class. And, you know, most of them will look at me and go, I don't know what you're doing, but I have to be here. I know whatever you're doing is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And young people are starved for it. All of my daughter's friends, 20, 21, 22,
mm-hmm.
you know, they'll call me up and go, Dee, could you do some work for me? You know? And they'll come over and sit around outside, and we'll barbecue and have these metaphysical conversations. You know, they're starving for it.
That's
and
right.
and I think I've just kind of become the cool metaphysical mom to hang out with, and I'm totally good with that.
Right.
Well, I think it's like a whole new generation. Of course, we're calling it the internet generation too, but it is they are thinking differently than the parents did, and that's good. That's the beginning.
Absolutely, they're open to new thought.
Well, Dee, you're talking about your healing work. Can you expand on that some more, on what you're doing?
Well, my specialty is discerning blocks that are in people's energy, and blocks take on different forms. It can be genetic. It can be false perceptions, false ideas, fears. And usually we all think I'm too afraid, and it's usually around I'm too afraid to be as powerful. But I'm very intuitive at hearing and going very quickly to what those blocks are. And also, a lot of my work is based on the collective consciousness and and literally what the collective is ready to move through, embrace, and expand into. And we're at an amazingly fast pace now that the collective, there's been so much work by so many light workers that have been holding the vibration that a lot of the collective has been able to shift over and start being open to it. So I do privates from all over the world every day. I have these great webinars that you can attend in person or stream online, very affordable. And they're all based on the I Am principle. And basically, the I Am principle is you have to claim it to be it. God said, I am, that I am. If I'm going to be God, I got to say I'm God, right?
That's right.
And if I'm going to be powerful, I have to claim I'm powerful. If I'm going to be well, I have to claim that I'm wellness. So we've done these two-hour webinars so far. The first one was The Gift, which outlines what I believe to be the creative process. And then we took it into I Am Success, I Am Wellness, I Am Relationships, and I Am Money.
Mm.
And May 19th, we're getting together from 7 to 9 to do the next one, which is A Night with Bright Light. And the channel told me, I call it the voice, Dolores, the voice said, you have to take a little bit of a break from the subjects because we want a night to bring the most important information from all of the webinars together in kind of like a community forum so that people can come together. We're going to have it up on Skype on a big screen, so hopefully we can even get people if they want to be on screen there. And just everybody can bring their questions, their comments about the book, their perusals of their own bright light and when they lost it and how they got it back and how they turned it up. I mean, you can't ever lose it, but we just turn it down, you know.
Well, how did they find out about that?
You can find out about all of my stuff. I finally just got my new website up. Yes, IamDWallace.com. IamDWallace.com.
Okay. IamDWallace.com.
Yes, ma'am. And I want to also let everybody know that you are publishing Conscious Creation in the Big E now, and I am thrilled and honored, Dolores, that you wanted to do that.
Yes, and we hope to have all of these books out by
They will be. There's no hoping. It will be done. Well, she's always going, well, I don't know. You think it's done.
She claimed it, Dolores.
That's right.
But she had 9 books to get out of here this week.
Good
and
grief.
Finally, the last one went out. And
they're all out.
Yours is, the Big E is definitely going to the printers this week.
Have you seen the covers yet?
No.
Darren
did you
was
change them?
He just sent them this afternoon, and Jared saw the Big E, but you're probably running around. You haven't seen them yet, so.
Oh, you have no idea what I'm trying to leave early Sunday morning, and oh, my goodness.
Okay. Actually, we do know. So.
Good luck to me. Yeah, you do. I don't know how y'all do it, seriously. I mean, I thought I had a lot of energy. I met Dolores and went, holy God, I've got to keep up with her.
Yeah, you got to get her brand of batteries.
Oh, my. So I'm just dying to hook up with you, woman, because I can imagine what the three of us are. We're just going to be little tornadoes
here.
I
can't wait. The broom is going to explode.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, that's what she's always telling everybody. I'm the Energizer Bunny.
Well, I second that.
Okay. But anyway, we are going to have your books here. All you have to do is bring your new one.
Oh, I will
bring Bright Light. Mm-hmm. Bright Light. We'll have the others. So.
Definitely bring Bright Light, my baby. And it is out now. You can get it at all the bookstores, and you can order it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
Go look at the testimonials, you guys. My heart is so grateful and so overwhelmed by these beautiful testimonials that are on there. It's just, I love this community that I work with. Yes. They're just beautiful.
I listened to your radio show one day. It was when, you know, we were first finding out about you. And
Checking me out, weren't you?
Yes, I was. <helping you. laughs> I was so impressed with how you work with your listeners. And it was just so beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just so beautiful. I was like, oh, my gosh, she's the real thing.
Well, the two most important things in my life are truthfulness and integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And they always have been. I was just born this way. And I'm happy. This is the authentic me. And when I went to New York, you know, people would go, oh, well, here comes Pollyanna, you know.
Yeah.
And I would just go, you know what? And I like me this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk a lot about that in Bright Light, actually, that a lot of people called it naive.
Mm-hmm.
I called it creation.
There you go.
Yeah, I didn't have any fear. I'd never been out of Kansas in my life, you guys. And the day I landed in New York City, I auditioned for Hal Prince, right?
Uh-huh.
And it was just kind of, between the time I left Kansas and the time I starred in what was then the biggest blockbuster of all time was a little over 4.5 years.
Wow.
And that's unheard of in my business.
Yeah.
And then nothing happened.
Okay.
Yeah, so I lost my light. I got really angry. I became a big victim.
And your test in there. Your test.
Yeah. And my life lesson that I was to get is nobody and nothing can take your light away. You're the one that dims it down because you go into reaction and fear. And let me tell you, I don't know if your listeners know, I have not had the easiest life. My father was a severe alcoholic all my life, tried to commit suicide twice in my bed, ended up shooting himself in the head behind a bar.
Wow.
I lost my husband of 18 years to a heart attack at 55. My daughter was 6. Very hurt in the business by different people. I mean, you know, it hasn't been, wow, Dee Wallace, the movie star, she has everything. You know, that's not my story. And I'm telling you, if I were as far down as I was and I found my light and this joy that I live in every day now, everybody can. Everybody can get their light and turn it up. And I want them to. I want them to have the joy that I live in now.
Yeah. Well, that's what people always think, you know, that movie stars have got all this money, they got all this fame, you know, they got it made, but they don't realize you got to pay your dues to get there. You know, you have to go through a lot of things.
Well, and we have challenges every day, just like everybody else, and sometimes greater, because our challenges get put into the media and blown up in front of everybody.
Right. They're in front of people. Mm-hmm.
But you know what it's like out in Hollywood, too. Some people that get it all too soon and too easy, they ended up destroying themselves. They can't handle it.
Yeah,
handed to them.
I know that that little voice of Deanna Bowers, who was raised a good little Methodist girl, when E.T. took off and hit like that, I know that those old teachings of, you know, Dee Dee, I can hear my mom say it now, you just need what you need, honey. You don't need anything more than you need, right? Mm-hmm. And be humble And I tell this story in bright light one night when I was in the back of the car, and I was in my joy about this really good performance that I had done in my dance, and it was my first solo, and I was so in my joy, and I burst out, "Oh, Mommy, I was good, wasn't I? I was so good." I can feel the tears coming up right now. And my aunt turned around and admonished me, "Don't you ever, ever say you're good. Other people can say you're good. That's not for you to know."
Wow.
You know, and we wonder then why we can't at 21, 25, 30, 40, whatever, feel safe to shine our magnificence and
right.
to acknowledge it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And we have all, there is a place in every one of our lives where that's happened, probably multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you just choose to shine your light, those things will stop happening now.
Mm. Yeah, now we can do it consciously.
Yeah.
So. See, that's what this new time is all about. We can create because now we know our power. We can walk into it.
And we must.
We must
seize our power mm-hmm. with confidence, because if we don't, then the people who are not holding the light will.
That's
yeah,
right.
And we don't want that.
Well,
so we've had quite enough of that for the last few years, I think.
Right.
Well, that's what they keep saying. It's time for the women to come into power.
Well, or at least the divine feminine in all of us.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Good point.
I think we're coming down to time. Isn't that funny how fast an hour goes?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's like sitting in a living room with your good friends and having a glass of wine. That's what this hour has been for me.
That's right.
But well, give them out your website again and how they can contact you, especially about your webinars and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's imdwallace.com. Just look at the bar at the top on the homepage, and it will direct you to how to book a private, how to get to the webisodes, all of my contact information. It's all there. I even sing and dance on my website for you. So
okay. I'm going to check that out. I hadn't seen that.
Okay. And we don't want to tell everybody that, yes, at our conference in June, it's the sixth transformation conference, June the 10th to the 12th,
mm-hmm.
and Dee Wallace will be there on the 10th.
Right.
Friday mm-hmm. night as a keynote speaker. And I know you're going to love, she's going to talk about these same things. You're going to give a two-hour lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's going to be there. And so anybody that wants information about the conference, go to our website, Ozark Mountain, OZARKMT.com, or like she said, just type in my name and it'll all come up. Find our schedule and how to book the tickets and find out where it's going to be. And I know we're going to have another really, really good conference this year.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to meet you in person, Dee.
Oh, me too. We're going to have some big hugs and we're going to party.
That's right.
Okay. Well, then, I think that's everything for tonight. And I really, it's been a great honor having you on here tonight, Dee.
And a great honor being with you, Dolores. I mean that truly from my heart. I send you guys love, your listeners, many blessings, and I can't wait to be there in person with you.
Okay.
Feel the same way.
So we're going to have to say goodnight then. So good night, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Good night.
Good night.